Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 5. Luke 24 and verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? And this is going to be our thinking. We're going to pose this question continually and reflect on what is in the question and what answer the angels provided. Why seek ye the living among the dead? This is a question posed by the angels whom the women met as they went early on the day of the resurrection to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus had died and had been buried, and though he said that he would rise up after 3 days, yet the women, with unbelief in their hearts, went with ointment to anoint the body of the dead Christ, thinking he was still in the grave. And so they went on the first day of the week early in the morning, as we find in verse 1 of the chapter. And then they went and found that the stone had been rolled away from the sepulchre, verse 2. They entered in and found that the body of Christ wasn't there, verse 3. And then as they were wondering, as they stood with amazement and with sadness that perhaps somebody has stolen the body of Christ, they found around them the two angels standing with their shining garments, verse 4. And yes, and they became afraid and bowed down their faces. And then the question came from the angels, Why seek ye the living among the dead? And I'm going to propose this question, as I said, for us. This is a very important question. Why seek ye the living among the dead? The question is what the English people say is rhetorical. It has the answer in itself. But beyond that, there are further answers given by the angels beyond verse 5. If you look at verse 6, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Why seek ye the living among the dead? In the rest of the chapter, just for us to gather the context, from this point, there is another account of Jesus meeting with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and the wonderful things they learned from him, and the surprise, the glorious surprise they had, which though it was late in the evening, they had to run back to tell the disciples about the risen Christ, the Savior. So we're going to be thinking about this question, and then we'll also look at the answer which the angels gave. Why seek ye the living among the dead? The angel's question, if you look at it very carefully, though they say, Why seek ye the living? The reality is that the woman were not going to look for a living person. They went to look for a dead person and to anoint the body of that dead person. Christ, they thought, was dead. And therefore they went thinking that they would find him dead and anoint his body as a way of offering him some service, the dead Christ. But if you look at the answer, the question which the angels posed, why seek ye the living among the dead? You see that in the question there is the answer, to tell the woman that Jesus was the living Savior. Why are you looking for somebody who is alive, as if he has died, or as if he is dead, I should say? So the question, why seek ye the living among the dead? It tells us that we have to look for salvation and life and all the most important things in the right place and not in the wrong place. There are many wrong places in this world which unfortunately have become the focal points for people's search for happiness, for life, for the true meaning of what it means to live. And therefore people have resorted to entertainment for self-pleasure, to look at philosophers, lawyers, and all other places which we'll be looking at and understand them as dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Christ is the living Savior. If you want life, if you want the proper life, if you want to understand the true meaning of life and to enjoy it fully, you cannot find it in television, you cannot find it in sports, you cannot find it anywhere apart from the living Savior. And yet, many of us look for life in areas where there is actually deadness, where there is nothing to be found which gives life. So we'll try to understand the sepulchre, that graveyard where Jesus was laid and he had risen from. We will understand that first in terms of dead people, because at the graveyard you find dead people. Then at the graveyard also you find dead ideas. For those people who have died, their ideas also die with them. There are also dead things. You find stones, and then you find the linen of Jesus Christ lying there. Dead things, and then you also will find the last one, which is dead works. Dead people, dead things, dead ideas, and dead works. Then you will also find in the sepulchre, you will also find that the time the woman went was a dead time. So dead place, dead time, which is unhelpful. So then the answer will allow us to be able to focus our attention on the appropriate place and the appropriate time to find Jesus Christ and be saved. Very important issues we have to consider this morning. So who are dead people? For they are the ones you will find in a dead place. And what does the figure teach us? When people are laid in the grave and they are covered, and then tombstones are built on them and they are heard no more, they lie lifeless. What does it mean to teach us this morning about deadness? Dead people we find according to this figure which is given us about the sepulchre are people who once lived and had great influence over others, and yes, they have died. And I want to draw your attention, for example, to religions founded by people who have died. What is the main difference between Christianity and other religions? It is because the founders of all the other religions, they have died. Is it Buddha or Muhammad, Hare Krishna? All of them, they are dead. So then, they are dead people, and if you want life, you can't find it in them. They are dead. They themselves need life. Dead people also include famous ones who are now alive. There are some who are living and yet they are as good as dead, almost dead. What does the Bible teach us? It tells us that all of us are spiritually dead by nature. But even if we come to spiritual life, human beings can never be trusted, for we are still going to taste physical death. There is still a lot of wrong in us. Therefore, why can you think that any person alive today can be a source of life? No, not even a pastor, not a prophet, not an apostle, as some people call themselves, none of these things. So we say that those, though you may not find them physically dead, yes, they are as good as dead. As good as dead means they live as a mirage. They live as a shadow. They live as a story which is told. They live as a vapor. And these things the Bible tells us very plainly. In Psalm 90 verses 5 to 9, Isaiah 40 verses 6 to 8, the description of man is that he is as good as dead. He has an appearance, he looks as if he is everything, and yet in a short while he is no more. And therefore whatever he says can never become the source of life. He is a vapor, grass, shadow, dream, a story. All of these imply that we are as good as dead. How then can you look for life in such a man? So I'm asking again, are you seeking for Christ and his salvation from such dead people? You can't find that if you are, then you are seeking the living among the dead. Not philosophers, not TV personalities, motivational teachers, business leaders, traditional rulers. Friends, have you realized how people depend so much on politicians and look for connections among people, trying to be affiliated to a big man somewhere, associated with a chief, bowing down to people as if that is what is going to give them life? They may get money or a job or something of that sort, and yet they remain in darkness, because all those people, they are as good as dead. And they remind us about why we should not seek the living among such things. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? So let's reflect on this. Dead people cannot provide life. Then there are also dead ideas. Dead places do not only contain dead people, they also contain dead ideas, thoughts, philosophies. That's what I mean here. What are they? Philosophies and theories which lead to religions and movements, belief systems and behaviors among people. There are a lot of them today. Plenty ideas are being bundled around, trying to influence people. Many motivational thoughts, many things are told young people in our schools. Believe in yourself, all right? Trust in your abilities. Believe that you can do it. And all kinds of things are being told. Ideas, they are powerful, because once the mind takes hold of them, the behavior follows. So why should we not seek life? Why should we not seek happiness from these ideas? Because they come from dead people and they also deceive. Consider the prosperity gospel, for example. It says, if you become a Christian, you must become rich. If you are not rich, then it means your faith is down. If you become a Christian, Jesus has promised to make you prosperous, financially, materially. That's false. It's a false idea. The same for false ideas such as naturalism. It's a big word, but what it means that is that everything in the world, the explanation of it is in nature. Did Jesus rise from the dead? It is not because of the Holy Spirit. It's because something in him wasn't dead and he rose by nature. What about how you can explain the miracle of the Red Sea which opened? Or Jesus' healing of the man with a withered hand? Oh no, it is not anything spiritual, it is natural. All sorts of ideas are bundled around in our world today. Charismatism itself is a huge movement today which has emerged. Very false, and yet the ideas appear very, very sweet to people. What are some of the ideas? Prayer, as the Bible says, must be done in secret and quietly. They turn it round and prayer becomes a loud affair, a matter of shouting and throwing hands and all manner of things. How to worship? In sincerity, in spirit and in truth, they turn worship into entertainment. These are a few examples. Ideas, they become very powerful and they can enslave a man. All of these are dead because they can't give life. They rather draw you further and further away from God. So, dead ideas are many. They also include the principles of life. And yet, some people have made it their ministry. Consider, for example, competition is a principle. Profit, ambition, self-actualization, they say, networking. All of these, they may be right in their own rights in a certain context that everybody has to strive for excellence and do well and so on. But that is not how the Christian faith is. It is not competition. It is not about profit. It is not about self-actualization. Not about any of those kinds of principles. But there are ministries today which are focused on these things. And I'm sure you are aware of some of the famous men in our charismatic, in the charismatic circles today, who take Bible passages and then translate them into such principles. Last night, I was listening to one of them. A preacher, a famous man in our land, was preaching about how to be victorious in life. And you would have thought He was going to speak about the victory of Christ on the cross and how that can also give us victory over sin. And all that he was thinking about was victory can come if you have a vision, victory can come if you have hunger, and all kinds of things like that. This is philosophy of the world. This is the principles which are dead, because through them you actually get further and further away from God rather than closer. Dead ideas, they also include wrong doctrines developed from religious books, even including the Bible. How dangerous it is to handle the Bible. And some people rather think otherwise, that you can just hold the Bible and open any page and read it. But it's dangerous to handle the Bible, because if you can't interpret properly, the Bible will actually become a snare, and it will become a dangerous instrument in your hand. Not because it is by itself dangerous, but because man handles it poorly. What are some of the doctrines which have come out which are wrong, and yes, they are promoted? Here are some of them. Even in Christianity, I'm saying, friends, salvation by good works. It's a very common thing. If I am able to do the right things, I will become a saved person. If I am able to obey the Ten Commandments, then I will be saved. Very false. Especially if you don't read the Bible well. Because if you read some parts of the Bible, it may appear as if salvation is by works, but it isn't at all. Another one is salvation is faith plus works. It's a milder version, but actually more dangerous. This is what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. It is by grace and also by your works. And they mix the two together and then put across a very, very nice appearance with a bowing of the head, with the chantings, with a quiet robe, with an appearance of holiness. And yet, underneath is wickedness and deadness. Salvation by faith plus works. It's a false idea. If you go for that idea, you are seeking the living among the dead. Another one is this. Jesus Christ is only or just a man and not God. Islam teaches that. He is a man, a good man, a good teacher, a good prophet, but he is not divine. He is not God. And that becomes a snare for many, and many follow that. They also say he did not rise from the dead. They also say he did not die on the cross. Some say he married and had children, distorting many things which the Bible brings across to us. Some even say he made mistakes. He sinned. But dead ideas, all of these people have been able to bring out from the Bible. Jesus' girlfriend was Mary Magdalene, and all manner of foolish things people say. But when you go for such ideas, you are seeking the living among the dead. Another example, set of examples of dead ideas are the words of sinful things, which are given nice names and promoted in the name of human progress and freedom. Men give those sinful practices nice names. I'm going to give you a few examples. Abortion is a wicked word. It's about killing of babies in the womb. But men are able to call it a choice, a life choice. Bribery is called motivation. Cheating is called being smart. Sin is called mistake. Adultery is called a sidekick. Homosexuality is called alternative lifestyle. Unbelief in the Bible is called open mind. Immoral dressing is called beauty or being hot. Gambling is called gaming. Prostitution is called commercial sex. All these nice words, people try to bring them across as ideas. But, as I said, they are dead ideas. If you follow them, if you make them the source of how you are going to build up your life policy and living, you are seeking the living among the dead. Dear friend, I want to ask again, are you seeking for the living Christ? Are you seeking for happiness and the true meaning of what it means to be a human being? Are you seeking for that from such dead ideas? If you do, then you are seeking the living among the dead. You must stop and seek living ideas in the gospel of Christ. They are beautiful ideas. They tell us about who we truly are. They tell us about the grace and mercy of God. They tell us about a God who came down from heaven like a visitor, to a poor household which was in debt. And when the household could not pay the debt, he came and paid all the debt and gave the household plenty food. This is the picture of salvation. When the ideas are in the gospel, the ideas in the gospel are that believe and repent. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Repent and you shall become a new person. God will build you, God will give you a beautiful character. You will become a different person. These are the gospel ideas. Dead places, friends, they don't only contain dead people and dead ideas, they also contain dead works. And human beings fall into that trap very easily. Dead works, what are they? Dead works, for example, are works of self-righteousness. I am trying to make myself a good person in order that God will be pleased with me. So law-keeping becomes one. Going through rituals and ceremonies, like many churches do today. Going on a pilgrimage to a certain place, as if God can be found at only one place. And then almsgiving, which is very common among people. Yesterday, when we went out of the station, a man would not even speak to us. He would not allow the gospel to be preached to him. All he was saying was, I have done this and I have that, and I was born into a Presbyterian church, and that is a very typical example of dead works. He holds on to his church where he was baptized. He holds on to how his children have become prosperous. He is trusting in how he has become very wealthy and very well-doing in this life. When he is fit, he came to sit outside of his house enjoying the fresh air. He thinks that is life. And yet, all of those amount to dead works. Dead works also include the sinful works of the flesh. We know them. Adultery, fornication, drunkenness, sorcery, or what is called juju in our land. Immoral dressing, dead works. Why do people do these things? Because they think they will have happiness in them. Why do people indulge in fornication, pornography, gambling with the games? Why do people do that? Because those things promise some happiness. When people go for them, the dance in the party, the watching of games, and the watching of television, even on Sundays when it's supposed to be the Lord's Day, they promise pleasure, but in the end they bring death, danger. Right? Dead works also include entertainment in the worship of God, which you know that we speak very strongly against those things. The house of God must be a place which must be kept very solemn and very holy, because it is the house of God. It is not a man's house where he thinks he can come to show off his dance and all the things which he does. But this is what the churches are promoting today. This is what has become Christianity of our day. That when a church is unable to provide good music and is unable to provide a dance, it becomes a church. This is what people think it's a church. If you are not able to provide those things, people think you are a dead church. But actually, it is the opposite. Wherever there is entertainment in the house of God, people get further and further away from God. Why? Because they learn nothing. They please the flesh, not the heart. And all that happens is they will become more and more dead in their lives. Are you seeking Christ among such dead works? This is the question again. If you are, then you are seeking for the living among the dead. But friend, why seek the living among the dead? Remember the angel's question, as we keep repeating. Why seek ye the living among the dead? It is a very dangerous thing to do. Very foolish in many ways, that when there is life, men seek for dead things. And we seek at the wrong places, among wrong people, among wrong ideas, and also among wrong things. So I'm urging you, friend, trust only in the living works of Christ. Trust only in his saving work. Trust only in his perfect obedience to God, which he did on behalf of men. This is the gospel, young people who are gathered here. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died. He died that sinners who are rather dead in trespasses and sins would live. And how can you become a child of God not because you are a good boy or girl, but because you have repented of your sin and believed in Jesus Christ. Apart from dead people, dead ideas, and dead works, dead places also contain dead things. So I hope you are noting them down one by one. A dead place has dead people, it has dead ideas, it has dead works, it has dead things. What are dead things? They are things invented by men, and there are many of them. They include the buildings and the cars, the clothing, the electricity, all of those things which may be good in themselves in their own right for our comfort in this world, and yet unfortunately people place their trust in them because they think they can find happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction there. But the Bible is very plain that in those things there is nothing, because they are dead things. So when you think of science and technology, which all of us have come across at some point in our educational careers, you learn about how things are what they are, what are the causes of things, what are the relationships between things, and understand technology and use technology. We all love that. Unfortunately, people have made those things the source of life and happiness. But it is an example of seeking the living among the dead. Why seek the living among the dead? So sports and games and titles, they are all things. Then also objects of men, objects which men worship, images, crucifixes, property, money, dead objects. Why are they dead? Because by themselves they do nothing. Especially if you want to think about how can your heart be moved, how can your mind be brought to think about the most important issues of life, you realize that good education has nothing to do with that. People get so well educated and become so prosperous out of that, and yet they have a horrible life, a very terrible lifestyle. They cannot hold on to living alone with their wife. They have to take girlfriends, sleep with their secretaries, become drunkards, visit shrines, and go for sorcery. Terrible is how people who become so well educated without Christ can live their lives. There are so many of them. How you can see a man, you think he's very intelligent, he has had acquired 3 degrees or 4 degrees, and he has property, he looks very well in the media, and you go close to him, examine his life, and it's a terrible life. He drinks, sometimes he is incestuous, sleeping with his own daughters. Some of them are able to bow down to an image. And sometimes we wonder, what is man? And how can man become so degraded, even if he has become so well endowed with scientific and technological ideas? But it is all because that man has been seeking the living among the dead. So, why do people visit shrines? Why do people place their trust in beautiful cathedrals and images and tinted glasses and incenses and statues, as we find in many churches today? They do that because they are seeking the living among the dead. They are actually looking at dead things and trying to find life in them. So, I hope these are very helpful to us as we think about this great question, and I hope we will be thinking about it as we leave this place. Why seek the living among the dead? Which living place can you seek the living Christ? What is the answer? And here, before I go into the main answers, I'm going to read to you one answer the Bible gives concerning where, which is the place where you can find life. Here is the answer from the Bible. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you see the Bible's testimony? The word, is it far away? No. Can you find it when you cross the sea? No. Do you need to climb a mountain before you find it? No. The Bible says it is near your heart and your mouth, so that you don't need to scratch your head and dig the ground before you can find the word. it is near you, even as we preach, that if thou shalt believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. You shall be saved from sin, from its penalty, from its power, and from its pleasure. So we'll move on to the next point, which is the time. The women, when they went to the sepulchre, when they went to the graveyard, they went at the wrong time. Wrong timing can be deadly. I used to say, the days I was not converted, the days I wasn't a Christian and I was just a church goer, I used to say, I am thinking of a time when I will repent. I want to enjoy all the things of my life. All the money, all the houses, all the clothing and all the entertainment. And then when I realize that I'm going to die, then I repent. Because I had heard of something about heaven. I wanted to go to heaven, but I wanted to enjoy my life. But it was a wrong thing to be saying, because wrong timing is in it. The women went at the wrong time. They went to look for Christ and they went at the wrong time. And fortunately, they heard the message. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you seeking at the wrong time? So then, what are wrong times which we can think about? Wrong times are past events which people make their source of knowledge and their pleasure. You know of people who were raised in Christian homes who know so much about the Bible. They know about all the stories from Abraham to Noah to Cain and Abel down to the stories of Christ. And yet, that is all they know. And they never move beyond the knowledge so that they can, in their hearts, have faith in Jesus Christ. They can tell you about the Bible. They can even preach and teach in Sunday school. And yet, what they have done is all the past events are what they are obsessed with. Past events are like Jesus' life's history, his miracles, his teachings, how selfless he was, how he was able to feed 5,000 people. And we take all of that in, and yet that is the end. So that is an example of seeking him at the wrong time. You are only looking at what he did before, as if he has died. But we look for the living Savior. Though we get the knowledge of what he did in the past, we seek him as somebody who is living. Past events also include the history of Israel, the history of Christianity and the church, and it also includes the history of revivals and, of course, the Reformation. You know, we are a Reformed Baptist church, and we take great pleasure in the story of the Reformation, how God used people mightily to challenge the existing theology of the day and to bring light among people in this world. Dead things, dead times is what we are thinking about. There is no salvation in knowledge of history. If you know the Bible, it doesn't make you a Christian. If you know how to teach the Bible, it doesn't make you a Christian. If you know how to tell the stories of the Bible, it doesn't make you a Christian. Because if you think like that, you are seeking the living among the dead. At the wrong time, you are only focusing on the past, and yet Christianity is the present. What does the Bible say about the right time to seek Christ? The Bible says the time is today. Hear this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. This is what the Bible says. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Here's another one. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. What is the time to seek Christ? Don't go and look for him in history. Look for him today, because, like I said earlier, the word is near your mouth and your heart. God makes sure that the Bible, the word, his word is not only in his Bible. He makes sure that it is preached. He gives away people who are able to preach his word. So faith comes by hearing, he says. He will always make sure you hear. And if you hear and you postpone it to the future, you will be seeking Jesus Christ at the wrong time. Why seek ye the living among the dead at the wrong time? Another example of a wrong time is to seek him in the future. Here I heard some people say, I will seek Jesus Christ after I have gotten money and a good career, when things have gone very well with me. And I can remember what one of the false charismatic pastors said on radio some time ago, that you can't use poverty to serve Jesus Christ. You can't worship God in poverty. You need to have things before you can worship God. How can you go to church on an empty stomach, he said, and worship God? Now this is an example of how foolish the ideas which are coming from people, even those who call themselves pastors. And unfortunately, people have believed these lies. I will seek Jesus Christ when I have money and I have had a good career, when I have become less busy, when I finish enjoying my current pleasures, after I retire from work one day, when I know I'm going to die. When Christians have been able to explain why there is wickedness in the world, and I hope you know some cynics who never want to believe, they say, why is there wickedness in the world? If God is there, why is it that people die? If God is there, why is it that a person like Adolf Hitler was able to kill so many people? They pose these examples so that it gives them reason not to believe. And they say, if I'm able to see that goodness comes into the world, then I'll believe in God. But you know, it is wrong. Seeking God at the wrong time is deadly. And I'll tell you a story about a lady who was confronted by a pastor. This lady was running a big shop. He had come from terrible poverty and was running a big shop, and the shop was bought and staffed for him by a rich man, a man who was a married person and yet had taken this young lady as his concubine or girlfriend, gave the lady money. And when the pastor confronted the lady about salvation, that she must be saved, she must repent and believe, which means she must stop the fornication with the man, the lady said that it's very difficult for her to do that. She is hoping that one day she will be able to make money herself out of the store, pay the man back, and then he will have a clear mindset to become a Christian. That she, at the moment, she can't become a Christian, because if she stops sleeping with the man, then the money will go away. The man may even take the store back. And that is an example of a wrong timing, because life is short and no one knows when he or she will die. So we have to be careful about these things. Wrong time to seek Christ is a time in the future. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, the Bible says. Why seek the living among the dead, friend? Hear the words of the Bible about the living time again. And again, I'll repeat it. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Lest the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It may be too late when you die. It will be a wrong time to think, I wish I had repented. Or if you hear the gospel week by week by week and you don't repent, God will stop dealing with you. So you may be alive and yet you may be dead already, because God has stopped dealing with you. How do we answer the question? Let's return to the passage which we read, Luke chapter 24. The angel answered, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you. I'm reading verse 6 of Luke 24, please. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And they remembered his words. That is verse 8. So the answer to all that we've said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Where should you seek? How should you seek? Look at Jesus' nature. The answer says he is living. He is not dead. Look at his resurrection in verse 6. He is risen. That is the hope. If Jesus has risen from the dead, which is the most difficult thing for any man to do, the easier one, which is saving you, he can do it far, far, far easily. How should you look? Where should you look? Look at his life. Look at his resurrection. And then also look at his words. Verse 7. The word says, this is what Jesus said before he died. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Arguments for why we must seek him. His life, he is living, his resurrection, he has risen from the dead, and so all who believe in him will rise to glory. His words that he was actually going to be rising from the dead. And then verse 6 and verse 8, our duty to remember. That is why I kept saying, remember the question. Why seek ye the living from the dead? Remember also the answer. The resurrection, the living Savior, his words. And then our duty. Our duty is to remember so that we don't become like the woman. They had forgotten what Jesus said, that I will rise again in the third day. When the third day came, they were going to still look for a dead body. So remember these things and don't answer the question like others do. They answer by offering their works, their things, their ideas, their own arguments. In their answer, they think and behave as if Jesus Christ is still dead, like other people and their gods, and that Christianity is just another religion among many other ones. Answer the question by repentance and faith. Believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm closing by these words. Another question, because questions make us think like the angels post. Doesn't it trouble you if you've been coming here as a regular visitor or as an occasional visitor? Doesn't it trouble you that each passing day, each passing hour, each passing church service, each passing year, you are not growing any closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Examine your life, friend. Are you growing closer, or you are growing further and further away from him? Doesn't it trouble you that in fact you are drifting further from him, and your heart is growing harder and colder towards him? The more you hear the gospel, the more angry you become. You think, if I stop doing all the good, enjoyable things, I will become a sad person. Doesn't it trouble you that you are wasting your time trying to find satisfaction and happiness in this world? You must come repenting, friend. Repent and believe that you may be saved. Repent and believe, and you would have found the living among the living. Otherwise, you will be surprised like the women. They came to the tomb. They came with good intentions, and many people have good intentions, and yet they were surprised that the living Savior was not there. And you may be surprised if you don't repent today and believe in Christ, because you will be surprised that at the day you think you are looking for him, or where you are looking for him, you will find him, that he is not there. Why seek ye the living among the dead? May the Lord bless our lesson this morning for his own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. O God, our Father, we thank you for bringing us this great question to cause us to think and reflect on our lives, to examine ourselves about where and the time that we are seeking. What do we seek to give us happiness and satisfaction in life? Many people are seeking at the wrong places, among wrong people, among wrong ideas, and among wrong things, and at the wrong times. Why do men seek the living among the dead? It is because we are sinners through and through. We have lost the way to thee. But we thank thee that you have reminded us by your word that there is a way by which we can return to thee, through Jesus Christ your Son, by repentance and faith in him. Oh, stir our hearts, O Lord. Bless us that our hearts will be moved to seek for the living Savior among the living word which you've given us, which your gracious purpose is that it is in our mouths and in our hearts for us to hear and believe. Bless many with thy salvation today for your glory's sake. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing our final hymn, hymn 240.